Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is a special pre-recorded edition of The Daily Drum. As a result, we will not be taking any phone calls tonight. But if you are at home, socially distant as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, it's likely that you probably are falling into some bad eating habits. Are you eating everything that's in your kitchen? Well, how do you deal with that? Tonight, we're speaking with food experts about the importance of healthy meals on the table during this very difficult time. And if you've gained weight in the past few days or even weeks, it's time to put a stop to that. My guests are nutritionist Dr. Ravinia Brock, also known as Dr. Roe, and Tracy McWhorter, author, vegan lifestyle expert, and author of the book, By Any Greens Necessary. Just a reminder that we will not be taking phone calls tonight because this is a pre-recorded program. Dr. Roe, how are you?
I am outstanding. It's wonderful. A pleasure to be with you.
And Tracy, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm at home working and being socially distant to make sure that I stay happy and healthy. Before we even talk about the issue of healthy eating during this COVID-19 pandemic time, I want to ask you both, and I'll start with you, Dr. Roe. How are you making it during this time? How are you dealing with being socially distant?
You know, I have to tell you, I spend a lot of alone time anyway. I enjoy my own company. and being socially distant for me is almost like my normal life because I live on a farm, so I'm hunkered down in the house a lot. Unless I'm traveling, you know, going back and forth to D.C. or New York or otherwise. So it's good. My husband and I have been spending a lot of quality time together. I'm not used to him being home, you know, during the day, like all day, every day.
Wait a minute, do I need to have you two on the relationship show?
You know, people got things they wanna interject into the environment. They got opinions about stuff, but not.
Oh my goodness!
It's been great. It has allowed us to spend some quality time together, and our pet family. So it's been really cool.
Okay, and what about you, Tracy? How about you? You've been on the show many times before. And, you know, you move around a lot, especially when looking for the best ways to stay on your vegan lifestyle. But now, I'm assuming you are also trying to stay as socially distant and as safe as possible.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to echo what Dr. Roe is saying. I work from home, so my day-to-day is not very different. And I love working from home. I love working for myself. So I think, you know, just my daily life has not changed that much in terms of, of being home, which is good. You know, I feel grateful for that. Obviously I have been, more, you know, anxious and stressed, and I have to make an effort not to go down the rabbit hole of reading and watching things about the, you know, the pandemic and, you know, which I'm careful to do each day just to guard against, you know, against that. But also, you know, just making sure that my mom and my sisters and you know, my extended family is fine here as well is important.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. I'll start with you, Dr. Roe. Certainly, Tracy, if you want to jump in, you're welcome to do so. But in this time of social distancing, and, you know, full transparency, I picked up a few. And because you're home, you're at home, you're not doing a whole lot of moving around. And even when I'm working from home and I am following the pandemic information and reporting on this, and I'm following it not just hour by hour, but literally minute by minute, the various and sundry changes. But I found myself nibbling on stuff. I went grocery shopping on Saturday, but since then I've been at home. I haven't really ventured out. The weather hasn't really been conducive to that. So, Dr. Rowe, what is kind of the first rule for people who, like me, may be working from home when they're used to going into the office every day and the kitchen is just a few steps away?
I have so much to say about this because you talked about yourself being hunkered down at home, of course, and having to follow the information, the news, because that's your job moment
right.
to moment. One of the things that I would say is that I've learned, right now, I'm in the midst of coaching a group of women. I have a 6-week coaching program, and so I'm in the midst of coaching a group of women. And I have to tell you that some of the things that I'm hearing and reading from clients as well as people who are just in my midst, like whether they're part of my social media fabric or that, folks are getting pandemic snack kits. Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh, so are you one of those people?
But I've seen them on social media. What are you doing here?
Pandemic snack kits. And I'm like, here, there is a lot of hysteria around this issue of a pandemic. I understand that a pandemic is nothing that we've actually experienced in our lifetime, right? Not here mm-hmm. in this country. I studied this in graduate school, epidemics and pandemics. And this is the first one that I've ever seen, ever experienced. Having said that, though, because you've never seen it before doesn't mean panicking. Like, there are people who were under the impression that food was scarce. I had somebody who say to me, food is scarce. And then I was like, hold on. Now, before you went to the grocery store the day before, let's say you went to the grocery store a week ago or 2 weeks ago, food wasn't scarce the day before you went in there and bought all that toilet tissue. You know what I'm saying? Food isn't scarce. You know, there's a perception of scarcity during this time, during the time of the pandemic. But it's perception, and it isn't fact. So the first thing to do is to take a beat. Let's just take a step back. Everybody just, calm down for a second, and let's look at this thing for the reality, not the perception. Now, the reality is, yes, we have a virus that's going around not only getting people sick, people are dying from it, okay? So there's some things that we need to do to protect ourselves there. But as it relates to the food and what you're going to do at home, the first thing is you don't start eating differently. You might buy foods packaged differently. For example, you might find yourself buying more processed, and I don't mean overly processed foods or ultra-processed foods. I mean minimally processed foods, like canned tomatoes or boxed tomatoes, canned salmon or pouches, salmon or tuna in pouches. All that to say, those are great to have on hand, and those are great to have on hand anytime. But it doesn't mean that we're in a shortage of food. We are not in a shortage of food. And for the love of God, please stop buying up all the toilet tissue. I don't know what this is about.
But, yeah. How about that? Yeah.
Yeah. And a pandemic is not the same thing as famine. Okay, that's a whole mm-hmm. different story. You see mm-hmm. what I mean? It's a whole different story. Tracy knows this. So, we're not in a famine. We're not in scarcity of food. Eat like you normally would eat. And do not stock up on calories. Let's not double up and triple up, and level up on calories while you're sitting in the house waiting for day 30 to roll around, hopefully, when you might be able to emerge again. You see what I mean? Because the truth is, on day one, you are, 120 pounds, and day 30, based on the way that you're eating, if you're going to eat, pandemic snack packs that are full of chocolate chip cookies and ice cream and potato chips, and you're going to eat all of the junk food, which has little to no, nutritional value, but a whole ton of caloric value, meaning you're eating a lot of fat, sodium, sugar, and calories. You weren't eating like that before, hopefully. then what you can expect is that you will have gained some weight. Like, Harold, you even said you picked up a few, even since you've been home. A few is not what a lot of people are going to pick up. They're going to pick up a lot because they're eating, they're consuming far more calories than their body requires. And let's just add to that, if you have little mobility, so if you're not moving mm-hmm. your body, you're yeah. not burning those calories and exercise, now you're going to gain more.
Well, hold on. Before we continue, I want to bring Tracy into this because one of the other things that I have noticed, and I think this is more about a conversation, and I think Tracy, since you were first on this program with me, and, you know, I always, you know, rib you and I mess with you about, you know, being a vegan, but it really is a lifestyle that a lot of people have embraced, whether it has to do with creativity, whether it has to do with their palate, whether it has to do with health or a combination of the three. And I've met a lot of people who were doing that. But what kind of challenges does this pandemic and the fact that we need to stay socially distant, what kind of challenges does it apply to the lifestyle where, you know, I know you like to eat a lot of fresh stuff, and that means the possibility that you would go out more to make sure that your refrigerator is fresh. Talk to me about those the vegan vegetarian challenges.
Well, I have a program that I soft launched last month that I'll be officially launching soon. It's an online program, Dr. Rowe, probably similar to what you're doing. It's called 10,000 Black Vegan Women, where I'm helping 10,000. Thank you. I'm helping 10,000 Black women go vegan this year. And it's an online group coaching program, all for free. And so as part of this, you know, so I launched it right at this time. And so part of what I do is give information, nutrition tips about how to eat vegan, right? That's what I've been doing, how to eat vegan and healthy. And so since this pandemic hit and many cities have been on lockdown and more are coming, I've been talking about exactly how to eat healthy and all or more vegan while folks are kind of locked down. And it's really, you know, it's really not as much of a challenge as you might think, because folks already are eating beans, they're already eating grains, they're already eating vegetables, they're already eating fruit, right? So you can eat those things. You can eat fruits and vegetables that are frozen. You can stock up on those for, you know, a week or two at a time. That's not a problem. Still very healthy. Fresh fruits and vegetables are still healthy to eat. I'm actually writing my weekly Wellness Wednesday blog post on this very topic. Is it still safe to eat fresh fruits and vegetables? And the answer is yes, because as far as we know at this point, and based on the previous SARS and MERS coronaviruses, there is no evidence that this is a foodborne illness. This is a respiratory person-to-person illness. So the only precaution is the precaution that you would normally take in washing fresh fruits and vegetables, because you still have, if it's not organic, the risk of, you know, pesticides, bacteria, germs, the things that you are always, dealing with when you buy fresh produce, whether it's organic or not. And so you always want to wash it thoroughly. So that hasn't changed. There is not, as far as we know now, a greater risk because this is not a foodborne illness. So, you know, you can still eat fresh fruits and vegetables. You can eat them frozen if you prefer, if you have some illnesses in which you want to be super cautious that are pre-existing, some pre-existing infections, go ahead and eat frozen. But it's actually not as challenging as you might think. You can still eat all or more vegan during this time.
I'm going to be taking a break in a little bit, but before I even get to that part, can both of you share your website and contact information? Because for your various constituencies, I'm sure there are a lot of people who right now listening to this are interested in what you're doing to stay healthy during the shutdown. So, Dr. Rowe, what's your website for folks who are trying to contact you?
EverythingRowe.com. The word EverythingRowe.com.
Okay. And Tracy, for you, particularly the Vegan Women's Initiative that you were just talking about.
It's 10,000, the number, 10,000blackveganwomen.com.
10,000blackveganwomen.com. We are talking to Tracy McWhorter. She is a author, vegan lifestyle expert, and author of the book By Any Greens Necessary. Also, Dr. Rovinia Brock, Dr. Rowe. They are talking to us about how to eat better, stay healthy during the COVID-19 pandemic. This is a special recorded edition of The Daily Drum, so there are no phone calls. But please stay with us. We are going to continue this discussion on SiriusXM. Channel 141. We want you to remember that Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on SiriusXM in just about 15 seconds or so. But also remember, the resources that are mentioned during the course of this program will also be found on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are continuing our discussion about healthy eating during the COVID-19 shutdown. Anything that you want to know to help fight those extra pounds and to make sure that what you're putting in your body is the best that it can be if you are stuck in the house. My guests are Tracy McWhorter. She is an author, vegan lifestyle expert, and author of the book By Any Greens Necessary. Also, nutritionist Dr. Rovinia Brock, also known as Dr. Rowe. Just a reminder, this is a previously recorded edition of The Daily Drum. We are not taking any phone calls, but I invite you to go to our website on WHUR.com to look for the resources that we talk about during the course of this program. Now, before the break, we were talking to Tracy just about some of the challenges and ideas that you need if you are a vegetarian or a vegan and you want to continue to focus on that lifestyle. Tracy, go right ahead, because you know, one of the things that did kind of occur to me, I'm not a vegetarian, not a vegan, but I use a lot of vegetables. Love, you know, fresh vegetables, putting more and more and more and more into the cooking that I do. You know, I do a lot of cooking on Instagram, and everyone's all up in my kitchen virtually. I'm glad I don't have to feed all of those people. But I'm worried about them knocking on my door.
Oh, that's right.
So this thing is not lost on you then, Harold.
That's
How about that? But, you know, to that point, prior to this pandemic issue, I was in the grocery store every Saturday or every Sunday adding fresh vegetables to some of the meats that I already had stored in my freezer or what have you. So, Tracy, how do I substitute the fresh for, you know, the frozen when you really like to cook? Because now I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going into the stores trying to stay away from people unless I need to buy toilet paper or cleaning products. Emphasis on toilet paper.
Well, one of the things that you can do is, if you know, as I said before, it is still safe to eat, you know, to buy fresh fruits and vegetables, especially dark leafy greens, if you want to, and just wash them thoroughly. You can wash them in a solution of one part vinegar to 3 to 4 parts water, soak them a few minutes, swish them around, rinse them off. And then you can freeze them if you want to make them last longer. So you can pull out some for fresh salads, you know, for the first day or two or three, and then the rest you can freeze. So you can still get fresh and frozen that way. But if you want to just focus or primarily focus on frozen vegetables, that's fine too. And you can still make you can still add that to whatever you're making. So if you're making smoothies, you can add frozen spinach, frozen kale. I actually add Brussels sprouts to my smoothies as well. You can also use frozen vegetables for sautés. You can put them in stews. You can put them in soups. You can put them in, you know, lightly steamed. You can steam them lightly and put them in wraps. So there are lots of things. You can put them in, you know, any dish that you want, because basically, you know, you want to add, you still want to eat as many greens as possible. My first book, By Any Greens Necessary, and then also this latest one, Ageless Vegan, that I wrote with my mom, who is 83 and has been vegan for 33 years, just like I have. She went vegan in her 50s. She eats greens 3 times a day, just like I do, and has no chronic diseases at 83. Still fit and healthy. And she's the only one of 14 of the ones who are still living who does not have a chronic disease. And she attributes that to her vegan diet and exercising 5 days a week. So, she cooks from scratch every day. So you can, and she eats greens and as a smoothie, as a wrap, as a salad, as a stir fry. So it's very doable and very simple.
How about that, Dr. Rowe? I heard that interjection.
I love it. Well, yeah, because when I heard 83, working out 5 days a week, that's what I'm talking about. That is the goal.
Right.
Your mom is life goals for all of us, really. She represents life goals for all of us. And to have no chronic diseases at 83, but look at her life. Look at what she's been doing. And working out, exercising 5 days a week is major, because sitting is a new cancer. You hear me say this all the time, Harold. So, yeah, sitting is a new cancer. And while we're sitting in the house during this lockdown, doing shelter in place, you know, you are really, you're literally dying on a vine. It's a sedentary lifestyle is basically a death sentence.
Yeah.
So the fact that Tracy's mother exercises 5 days a week and at 83 is major.
Thank you. And she's still being homebound like all of us are. She's still working out every day. Like, she is exercising at home just as she would at her senior center every day. So she hasn't
because
let that
you can
stop
do it.
Her. And it's her lifestyle. Yeah.
She's made it her lifestyle. So it's a part of her life. So, Harold, one of the things that I tell clients and anyone within the sound of my voice is, listen, you can do a bathroom workout literally while you're getting ready. If you're going to groom yourself, and hopefully you will.
Let us hope so. Yes.
Let's hope. You know, you're going to brush your teeth. You can do squats while you're brushing your teeth. You can take a break from the squat and do leg lifts. You can do side leg raises. You can do back leg raises. You can do dips on the side of a bathtub. So you can literally do a bathroom workout. If you have stairs, if you have steps in your house, you walk up and down the steps. You know, if you have 15 steps, you just do that, like, say, 3 different times. And you can get a workout in 15 minutes and be done with it for the rest of your day to do whatever it is that you want and need to do.
And let us also not forget, before we get back to the food piece, is that you can go outside. This isn't about not going outside. You're not shut in during the shutdown. You just have to stay socially distant from people. And so if you need to go on your front porch, your backyard, or what have you in the park, you can do that. But to the point of eating, I want to talk about not only for the adults, but also for the young people, Dr. Rowe. What snacks would you recommend that people have at home? And what snacks do you recommend that they stay away from when they are spending more time at home?
So I get a lot of moms who say to me, well, Neil, I can't take my kids' cookies away. I can't. I'm like, first of all, I need you to take them away, because I know that you're helping them to eat them.
Right. Exactly.
So let's keep it real. So I don't know that this is a battle for the kid. So I would say let's replace the cookies, though. Let's replace it with popcorn. Let's replace it with, you know, crunchy vegetables like baby carrots and hummus. Let's replace some of the cookies and the potato chips. You like, if you want a crunch, let's do some kale chips, which you could do in literally like 3 minutes. Seriously. Mm-hmm. So so let's do that. I know it sounds like I'm Team Stacy, Tracy, but in many ways I am. So I'm saying let's replace the salty, fatty, high calorie snacks, but low on nutrition, with those that are packed with nutrition. So vegetables, fruit smoothies, fruit juices, homemade juices that you make yourself. How about doing some frozen fruit, like freezing, you know, individual grapes and popping those either individually by themselves, or you can make it fine and put them in ice cubes and put that in a drink. For kids, I think, and especially for younger kids, this is a great opportunity to do what I call creative food experiences for children. And so we can teach them a lot about food and about nutrition. And it's done. It can be so much fun. They don't even really know that they're learning. You know what I mean? So you can give kids a creative food experience from making a fresh fruit tray, like with a variety of different fruits, by starting like in a shoebox. And you put a whole bunch of different fruits in whole fruits in a shoebox, put a sock, cut a hole in the top, put a sock in there, and then they have to feel, little kids have to feel the different textures and the different shapes, and they have to describe what that is. And believe it or not, from a kiwi to star fruit, you will find that there's a lot of laughing and giggling, and they find it funny. And at the same time, you can teach them how at the end of this, I make like an assembly line. At the end of the assembly line, not only have they learned something about shapes, about textures of fruit, but they also learn to make, they learn about color, and they learn about nutrition. And you could teach them to make a three-step dip, like a fruit dip with yogurt, whether it's dairy or vegan, with yogurt, orange juice, and a little cinnamon. So, you know, it can be a fun time and a fun experience where you get many things accomplished, including feeding your kid healthy, nutritious foods that they enjoy.
You know, one of the things that I also wanted to talk about when it comes to what you're putting in your body, we've seen a lot of people who are buying bottled water right now. Of course, everybody's mm-hmm. stocking up, and I get that. We can debate the water from the faucet and all of that, but the bottom line is people should drink more water all the time. But as we've seen, the liquor stores are considered essential businesses, and as a result, states have not closed them as they have closed so many other businesses. So, you know, Dr. Rowe, can we talk a little bit about the alcohol consumption? That people are drinking, they're drinking more wine, they're drinking more spirits, because again, they may argue there's nothing else that they have to do other than sitting around. Talk about the dangers of that.
Yeah, the emotion. Well, so this is, people are on an emotional roller coaster at this time because there's a lot going on and not all, you know, not all pleasant. And that's being kind. So if you're losing your money, the stock market is tanking, the economy, we're said to be in a recession. All of these things are happening. Alcohol does its best work in these times. The sales for alcohol and alcohol stocks go through the roof in times of peril and trouble like this. So, people are going to be drowning their sorrows in alcohol. Moms are, you know, drowning their sorrows in wine because they are at home with small kids that are typically in the nursing home, in the nursery school or preschool, while they're at work getting on their executive job. And now they've got this kid that wants to give them all these new ideas. And so it just gets to be a challenge. So all of a sudden, people are finding themselves in very eventual, uncomfortable positions because they really are not accustomed to this kind of day in this isolation, with even with your family. That said, and you know, there's an overwhelming number of an increasing number of women, young women, of all races, but Black women are very much a part of this group, and that is women that are increasing alcohol consumption because wine is the thing. So this is the time when wine is flying off the shelves, whether in the liquor store or the grocery store. Folks are downing whole bottles of wine as an excuse to medicate whatever their pain or discomfort is.
I tell you, Moscato has got a whole new stock approval. I mean, that's, you know, that if they're running out of anything, they may run out of that, because
it's driving the sales of Moscato.
Exactly.
That's a ladies' drink. It's a sugary ladies' drink. It is.
Exactly. Some would argue, I would, it's the Kool-Aid of wine. But think that you really do have to be careful about your wine consumption or alcohol consumption. And it's not just the women, obviously. It's everyone. You really have to kind of watch that, because you now have so much more time on your hands.
And here's another reason you have to watch it. So a big study came out a couple years ago about the fact that alcohol is a pathway to cancer. And then there are a number. See, you know, that there are 13 obesity-related cancers, but there are also cancers related to alcohol consumption. And it has to do with the digestion pathway. So cancer of the mouth, tongue, esophagus, stomach. Obviously, you would expect liver and pancreas, but if you just think about consuming, just drinking the alcohol, the pathway that the alcohol, you know, follows before it's absorbed in the body from the mouth on down, almost like, as they say, from the rooter to the tutor, all the way. So colon cancer, mouth, tongue, esophageal, throat cancer. All of these cancers associated with alcohol consumption, and it has to do with the distillation process or the way the alcohol is processed in general. And it is not, you know, you would easily think, oh, well, this doesn't include beer and wine. It turns out it includes all alcohol.
All of it, yeah. And the higher,
not just hard liquor.
And the harder, the higher the alcohol content, you know, the quicker it goes into your bloodstream, kind of, and I'm not going to dwell on this too much, but you need to remember, for those of you who may have gone to some of those, you know, college parties where someone had, you know, the grain alcohol, and the reason that it burned because it didn't wait to get to your stomach to be absorbed into your system. It started right at the mouth. And so you really do have to be careful about your alcohol content or consumption, I should say. I do want to go back to another thing about the vegan vegetarian lifestyle, Tracy. You mentioned something, and I want to drill down a little bit more, and this is particularly important to me, or for those who are trying to stock up. As I mentioned, I love to go to the grocery store on a Saturday if I'm cooking something Saturday night or something that I'm cooking on Sunday. But which vegetables are not, and I'm talking the fresh stuff, which vegetables, leafy or otherwise, do not keep well if you need to freeze them when you are trying to do some fresh food cooking?
Well, obviously the sturdier ones, the cruciferous ones, collards, kale, mustards, turnips, bok choy. There's so many vegetables, but the sturdier ones that have the thicker stems are the ones that are going to freeze better than the more tender vegetables, the ones that we call, you know, the baby vegetables, like the Mexican mixes or arugula, beet greens, dandelions, the ones with the very small very short stems. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that are going to break down faster. So So you want to eat those first, in the first day or two if you can. But again, you know, you can, you want a variety anyway of vegetables. So when you go, if you're, you know, depending on how many people you're cooking for, if it's just yourself, you know, I would say you can get one or two bunches of fresh, whatever your favorites are. You know, you can get kale, you can get collard greens, and then you can get some cabbage, you can get some broccoli, get some cauliflower, get some carrots, get some other vegetables, and get some, you know, whether they're fresh or frozen. So the point is to have variety. You know, you can get a Mexican mix. Just make sure that you have variety. That's most important. Dark leafy greens and then vegetables of different colors, whether they're fresh or frozen.
Mm-hmm. One
so,
of the things.
Tracy, when you say, you say that if you're going to buy your vegetables fresh but with the intention of freezing them, that you should blanch them first because.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. You don't want to freeze them dirty right after you. You want to wash them. You can blanch them. It depends on, the type of greens. But in general, you want to soak them for a few, swish and soak them for a few minutes in cold water with some plain white vinegar is fine. You know, 1 to 3 or 1 to 4.
That's so, cleaning. That's the cleaning part, right?
That's the cleaning. But I find that blanching is just putting them in the water, just in a small amount of water, and just you really just want to brighten them. You just want to. You're not going to really cook them completely, but you're going to kind of soften them a little bit, such that they're not so tough when you. Because I find that for collards and kale and greens like that, fresh greens like that. They can tend to be tough if you don't blanch them first, if you just try to stick them in the freezer without blanching them. That's been my experience.
Also,
go ahead, Tracy. No, I was just going to say that's another good option. I haven't – it's a personal preference. And then it depends on what you're going to do after, you know, once you freeze them. If you're going to saute them or steam them, throw them in a stew anyway, they're going to wilt even further. But yes, definitely blanching is a good option as well.
One of the things that I did just this past weekend when I did go to the grocery store, I bought a lot of root vegetables. I bought carrots, parsnips, turnips, rutabagas, and forgive me, Tracy, but I also had some lamb. And I made this.
I'm not the food police.
Yeah, I know you are. You know, I didn't want you to hang up on me.
You want me to hang up on you?
Right, exactly.
I'm like, hold up now. I'm a vegan. I'm not the food police.
Right, exactly. You know, that's another show. You know, right. You don't want anybody clutching your pearls when you mention a chicken wing, but. I'm trying to help our folks out here.
We're all grown. We're all adults.
Yeah, we're all in this together, right?
Yeah. Every vegan meal is important and helps. That's my perspective on it. So I'm really not that doesn't stop me. So keep going.
here's my question.
Okay.
For those who decide that either they're not going, whether they are in the vegan lifestyle or decide today, I'm just not going to do meat today or for the next couple of days.
So a more plant-based.
Right. Like, you know, and even it's just something that they just decided to do, you know, this week or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any health danger or concern from just eating, you know, the potatoes, just a whole bunch of root vegetables without the greens during the course of the week? Because, you know, I know we need to do variety.
Yes, there is. Yes,
and
there
that,
is.
That's why I'm at. Yes, I knew somebody would know. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I mean, well, there is because one of the reasons that Tracy mentioned eating a variety of foods, I don't mean to speak for you, Tracy, but I know that we agree on this. Yeah, and that is that the whole reason to eat a variety of foods is that there's no single group of foods that's going to give you all the nutrition, all the nutrients that your body requires to function in their proper quantities. So that is the whole reason for eating a variety of foods. And when you talk about eating produce, you still need a variety of colors because beyond the nutrients your body requires, now we have other chemicals, plant chemicals, antioxidants, and phytochemicals that go a long way to protect you from those chronic diseases from which we suffer as a group, as a community, disproportionately, right? So, yeah, you're doing your body harm if, in fact, you're not getting as many colors as is humanly possible and if you're not eating a variety of foods because you need the nutrients therein to protect you and to help your body to function normally.
And that was the thing that I was certainly concerned about because for those people who may be listening to this and thinking, okay, let me back off of the meat and make sure that I add more vegetables. But you know how people are. Sometimes they overdo it. And instead of doing everything in moderation, whether it's alcohol or exercise or whatever it is. And so, yeah, they're just going to go out and get a whole bunch of root vegetables and get no green leafy vegetables. And then you have problems on the other side of that.
Right. So here's the thing, echoing what Dr. Rowe just said, I mean, you want to focus on color for sure, for the phytonutrients, for the antioxidants, that the color tells you that food, the bright color, the darker color, whether it's fruits or vegetables, like berries are the healthiest fruits that you can eat. The darker the berry, the healthier the fruit.
All right.
Yeah,
it's good. We can all admit that. To a whole different place.
That's another show.
But it's memorable, right? They'll remember that. It's the same with vegetables. The darker, the richer the hue, the more nutrients, the more cancer-fighting, disease-fighting antioxidants there are that exist. Phytonutrients, they're nutrients that we don't even know about. That exists in fruits and vegetables. So absolutely variety is important. But it is good to eat colorful root vegetables as well, but don't do it exclusively. I mean, there's absolutely – and the other thing I wanted to just mention is that most people don't make a transition into vegan foods exclusively overnight. It took me a year and a half to do it. Took my mom the same amount of time, took my sister the same amount of time. It was back and forth. That's not the, it takes the time that it takes. So, give yourself grace. Every plant-based vegan meal you eat makes a difference to your body because of the nutrients, but also because that's where you're getting your fiber. There is no fiber in meat and dairy, and fiber is essential. So however you are eating, wherever you are on your food journey, make sure that you're eating fresh fruits and vegetables. Make sure you're eating beans. Make sure you're eating whole grains, not the white grains, but the brown and tan grains, the black grains, the brown rice, the black rice, the whole grain pastas, the millet, the quinoa, bulgur.
And nuts and seeds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nuts and seeds. That's protein. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, and these are ingredients, right? So these are ingredients that you can use to make a whole number of dishes. You can make vegan mac and cheese. You can make vegan waffles. You can make vegan lasagna. I mean, you can make everything just using different ingredients or many things using different ingredients, but you want to focus on these whole ingredients and eat less packaged food.
Well, I think this is a good place to end this conversation. I want to thank both of you, Dr. Rowe, Dr. Rovinia Brock, and of course, Tracy McWhirter, for sharing with us, not only being entertaining, but being informative for people who are really kind of struggling with the best way to eat healthily during this difficult time. So again, thank you, ladies, so very, very much. I really appreciate all the time and information that you've shared with us.
It's
thank
my pleasure. Harold, I would just like to offer your listeners,
real quick, because I've got 30 seconds.
Go to everythingrow.com/FFF FFB, and get $100 off of my 30-day plan for your meals and your whole lifestyle.
Well, thank you both. And the information that you've shared with us, the resources, will be on our website on WHUR.com. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, March 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Stay safe, everyone, and good night.